I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. My topic this morning is a life with honorable ending. Now, all of us have to live our life on this earth, and one day our life will definitely come to an end. Now, what kind of end will we have? Will it be an honorable end, or will it be one that is dishonorable? Now, this is what we want to consider this morning, and we want to look at the life of Joshua once again, and also look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and see how we may be able to have this honorable end to our life on this earth. Now, Joshua chapter 11, verse 23 says, if you turn to the book of Joshua, by 11:23, all right, now they had completed virtually the conquest of the promised land. So we read in verse 23, Joshua 11, so Joshua took the whole land, the land of promise, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by the tribes, and the land rested from war. And then you turn to chapter 13 and verse 1. Chapter 13 and verse 1. And by this time, Joshua was an old man. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Joshua at this time must be about 100 years old or so. Yes, you remember they had spent 40 years in the wilderness wandering, and then they had gone into the promised land and had gone to war with the dwellers in the promised land. And now they had come to the end of the war. So Joshua would probably be very close to 100 years old, and I'm not surprised if he was more than 100 years old. So the children of Israel had conquered the promised land, and Joshua was now old and stricken in years. But the word of God here says, there is still much land to be possessed. So you see, even though the Israelites had conquered the whole of the promised land, there were still pockets of land here and there which were not possessed yet. And these pieces of land didn't require a national effort for the children of Israel to take these pieces of land. The individual tribes, each one of them could do his job, to do the work. Now, what was Joshua to do? He was old and stricken in years. As of now, he was to focus on the division of the land among the tribes of Israel. Now, you will remember that only 9.5 tribes crossed the River Jordan into the promised land. The other 2.5 tribes had settled on the east bank of the River Jordan, the tribe of Gad, the half tribe of Manasseh, and the tribe of Reuben. So Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh settled on the east bank. The other 9.5 tribes, half tribe of Manasseh and the other 9 tribes, settled on the west bank. And the land was to be divided among these 9.5 tribes. Now, when the Lord said this to Joshua, you are old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. Was he actually chiding Joshua? Was he? No, my dear friends, he wasn't chiding Joshua, because Joshua was actually a very, very faithful man. And when the Lord said those words were actually quite commendatory. The Lord was saying to Joshua in a loving manner, you have done your job, you are now old, yes, stricken in years, and there remaineth much land to be possessed. But now you are to focus on the division of the land among the 9.5 tribes. Now, Joshua was a man of faith, a very faithful man. And you remember, he was one of the 12 spies that went out to scout the promised land. And only he and Caleb saw the promised land with eyes of faith and came back with a good report that the land was conquerable and that they were to go into the promised land with faith to take the promised land. But the other 10 spies brought back very, very discouraging news that the land was not conquerable, was occupied by giants and so forth. And the children of Israel were so discouraged that they refused to move into the promised land. And for their lack of faith and for their disobedience, they were condemned to die in the wilderness wandering. I'm referring to those who were 20 years and above when they left the land of Egypt. They died in the 40-year wilderness wandering. Now, here was one, talking about Joshua. Here was one who was very, very courageous, one who was very exemplary in his leadership. Now, how could he be so courageous? How could he be so exemplary in his leadership? Now, he could, because God was with him as he was with Moses. And we read this in Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. This was the promise that God made to him, to Joshua. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So, what does that tell us? Now, this tells us very, very clearly that Joshua, being faithful, would have received very, very commendatory words from the one true living God, and not words of rebuke when the Lord said to him, "Thou art old and stricken in years, and there is much land still to be conquered." Now, Joshua indeed had a very honorable ending, and that's what we want to, and that's what we should aim for, a life with an honorable ending. One lived with faithfulness, one lived with righteousness, and ending with dignity and beauty, as the word of God in Proverbs 16, verse 31 says, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Now, the hoary head refers to a head with silver hair. Yes, the head with silver hair is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. And surely Joshua's life was crowned with glory, and because his life was found in the way of righteousness when he came to the close of his life. Now, I do not know whether I will have any hair left or not when I come to the close of my life, but I'm hopeful that at least there will be still a few strands of silver hair on my head. But, my dear friends, I pray that the Lord will be very, very gracious and kind to me, that he will see this imaginary hoary hair on my head. And that imaginary hoary head means silvery head, all right? That imaginary hoary head will be seen as something of glory in the sight of the one true living God. Now, at the close of his life, just see what kind of faith this man had. He was faithful up to the end. And look at how faithful he was at the close of his life. If you turn to Joshua chapter 24 and look at verses 14 and 15, you will see that he was indeed a very, very faithful man. Now, I read for you Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord. He had gathered this congregation of the Israelites, represented probably by the elders. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Yes, choose you this day whom you will serve. Apparently, among the Israelites, there were those who carried along with them the gods that were brought from the on the other side of the flood, referring to the land of Mesopotamia, the land from which Abraham came. And then they might also have taken along with them the gods that they were worshipping in the land of Egypt. And now they were in the promised land, and they were maybe in the process of wanting to adopt the gods of the dwellers of the promised land. But Joshua said, if it seem evil to you, all right, choose you this day whom ye will serve. And Joshua said it very, very clearly. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you see how faithful this man was. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, then you think of this great man in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Yes, when he came to the part of the end of his life, when he was in prison awaiting execution, right? He was going to be executed soon. And this was what he said, what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8, if you would very quickly turn to the New Testament, because I'd like us to look at the ending of these great heroes of the faith. Look at this man, the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Yes, now we are talking about people with an honorable ending of life. Paul says, 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Yes, Paul followed the one true living God, his Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, as straight as an arrow, as of the day the Lord called him into his service when he was at the gate of Damascus, where he saw the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Yes, now what about all the things that he gained as a result of his good works and as a result of his merits before his conversion? You know what he said? "I count them all nothing but dung, nothing but dung, worse than nothing, they are dung." And so what was he aiming for? My dear friends, he had only one thing. His focus was only on one thing. He says this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That was all that he was interested in. Yes, that was his focus, pressing toward the mark, the target, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It was a high calling for him because the calling came from heaven. And God was calling him to receive that prize. "Paul, run your race. Get this prize." And what was this prize? This prize, he said it earlier on, the crown of righteousness. Perhaps Paul was also looking forward to other crowns, such as the crown of life, the crown of glory, and the crown of rejoicing. Yes, he was looking forward to the crown that the Lord would put on his head. Now, we do not know whether Paul was bald or not, or whether he had this hoary head or not, but he didn't care for this hoary head. Whether he had a hoary head or not, it didn't matter to him. What was most important to him was that crown, which was the prize that the Lord had for him to receive. Yes, now Joshua and Paul are great examples for us to follow. At the close of our life, when we look back, will we have any regrets, my dear friends? You think about it. Will we have any regrets at the close of our life? Will we be thanking the Lord for keeping us faithful to him and keeping us in the path of righteousness? Righteousness. How regretful it will be for us if we started well, but along the way, we fell back into the world and we lost our testimony as a result because we went back into the world. Now let me talk to you young people, all right? Not many young people today because some of our people might be away. Let me address you young people. Now you profess to be believers, right? Yes, no. All right, you profess to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my question to you is this. Today, some of you might already be in the working world. And then you are sensing that actually the pull of the world is very, very strong. My question to you is, are you walking strong in the Lord? Are you steadfast and unmovable in the most holy faith? And then you meet someone who comes along and whom you think could be your lifelong partner. Yes, your lifelong partner. your life partner, you think that is a good possibility, but before you get yourself into any kind of serious relationship, do you pose yourself this vitally important question? Is this person the Lord's will for me? It's a very important question to pose. Is this person the Lord's will for me? Then the next question you might pose is this: will he or she draw me closer to the Lord, or will he or she draw me away from the Lord? My friends, these are very, very important, vitally important questions to ask. And then when you are established in life, when you have a good home, a good job, a good family, will you still be steadfast and unmovable in the most holy faith, or you have become very, very comfortable in life? Now, nothing wrong with being comfortable in life, nothing wrong with enjoying the comforts of life. Don't get me wrong, all right? But friends, what is wrong is enjoying these comforts to the extent that the Lord Jesus Christ becomes secondary. Will that happen, my dear friends? Will the Lord become secondary in your life? And then when you come to the close of your life, will the Lord find you in the way of righteousness and say to you, your hoary head is your crown of glory? Will he be saying that to you? Now, let us not be like Solomon. You remember King Solomon? Solomon actually had a very, very sterling performance at the start of his public service. Yes. But his service deteriorated over time to the extent that when he grew old, yes, he practically lost all his testimony. He became a spiritual casualty when he was old. Now, let us read what happens to this man when he was old. 1 Kings chapter 11. And I say, let us be warned. Don't be like this man, all right, who started well. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. 1 Kings chapter 11 and verse 4. I read for you. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. By the way, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. All right. Then after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Verse 9. And the Lord was angry with Solomon. You see these words? The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Two times the Lord had appeared to him and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. And verse 11, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Now Solomon was actually a very, very privileged person. He was the son of the great King David, and he was anointed king. And before and when he ascended his throne, God was very kind to him, gracious to him. God appeared to him two times. The first time, God said this to him, Solomon, in the dream. He said to Solomon, Solomon, you ask of me, I'll give you what you want. And then you know what Solomon asked? Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge. And the Lord was very, very pleased with his request. He said to Solomon, because you asked for wisdom and knowledge to be able to be a very effective ruler, and have not asked for long life, and has not asked for wealth, and has not asked for the lives of your enemies, I will give you things that you have not asked for. I will bless you with them. So you see what a great start he had. But, well, his performance deteriorated over time. Now, in the case of Solomon, what was it that pulled him away from the Lord? It was his many wives. Now, friends, there are so many things in this world that can draw us away from the Lord. Remember, the lust of the flesh is very, very real in us. The lust of the eyes, very, very real in us. The pride of life, very real in us. What other people have, we must have. Yes? And then self. Yes, self in us can draw us away from the Lord, because we are very, very inclined to worship self in us. Now, what is most frightening is what God said to Solomon. All right, God was angry with Solomon. He was angry with him because he went after other gods. How terrible it is for God to be angry with Solomon. And don't you think it's very, very fearful, a very frightening thing if God is angry with us? I say, my dear friends, we all better understand that if God is very, very angry with us, we are in very, very serious trouble. And that was exactly the position Solomon was in. And what was the punishment? The punishment for Solomon was that his kingdom, a huge chunk of his kingdom, was taken away. All right, there were 12 tribes under his rule, but because of his sin, 10 tribes actually were taken away from him, and he had the remainder of two tribes to rule over. Or his descendants had the remainder of the remainder of two tribes to rule over, the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. So you see, this man was punished because he went after other gods. Yes. Now, let us understand this, that anything can become our God. Yes. Anything that takes the place of God in our life is our God. We said that many, many times, and I hope that registers, my dear friends. I hope it registers with you. I hope it registers with me. I hope it registers with everyone. It could be a legitimate thing. It could be a person or persons or things. It could be your job. It could be your studies. It could be your child, my dear friends. Your child can become your God. It can be your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your parents. My dear friends, anything that takes precedence over the one true living God becomes your God. At the close of your life, will we be found faithful to the one true living God like Joshua was and have an honorable ending, or will we have other gods apart from the one true living God, or we have forsaken the one true living God like Solomon did and then caused God to be angry with us? I trust, my dear friends, that will never ever happen to us. That we remain faithful to him, that we remain steadfast and unmovable in the most holy faith, in the one true living God. Now Joshua chapter 13 verse 1 says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, Thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." Now to have an honorable ending, we must clearly understand this truth, which every one of us thinks he understands, or he or she understands. Our life is limited by an ending. We understand this? All of us understand this. But, friends, our understanding very often is very, very theoretical. Our life has an ending. Oh, it has an ending. Only to the very old people. Other people to old people. But not me. That's what we always think, right? My dear friends, but remember, all of us, whether you are young or old, life is limited by its ending. And once it ends, it ends. You cannot make any changes. If our life has been dishonorable, my dear friends, when our life ends, it cannot make it honorable. It has been dishonorable, it's dishonorable. Now, and our life has to end, no matter how strong we are. Now, you look at this man, Joshua. Do you not think that he was a very strong man? I tell you, he was. He was a military man. Yes, he was that young general that led the children of Israel to fight their first battle when they left the land of Egypt. And the first battle that they fought was against the Amalekites. And Joshua led them to a great victory over the Amalekites. Now, this man was very, very strong, physically, mentally, very, very strong. And then he was one who was also one of the 12 spies to go into the promised land to scout the promised land. Now, you surely would not want to choose somebody who is not physically agile, or one who is not alert, and one who is not strong to do the scouting. So surely he was a very, very agile, athletic, strong man to be chosen to be one of the 12 spies. Powerful and strong as he was, he still had to grow old. He still had to die, albeit at a ripe old age of 110 years old. But friends, 110 years is a very short time. Don't think it's a long time. All right? To Moses, even living up to 120 years old was short. Moses died at the age of 120. To him, a lifespan is like a tale that is told to Moses in the book of Psalm 90. He tells us, we spend our years as a tale that is told. It is like a story. How long does a story last? We've asked ourselves many times these questions. Today, people don't read books, but they watch television to watch stories, right? How long does the story last? The longest one, maybe 3 hours, all right? But the story will still have to come to an end. If you read books, all right, you spend a few hours reading the book, and the story will still have to come to an end after 3-4 hours or so. So you young people, yes, understand this truth. Our lifespan is short, not a long one. And you may think, you young people may think that you will live for a long, long time because as far as you are concerned, yes, time seems to be traveling quite slowly. True? Yes, seems to be traveling quite slowly. But believe me, my dear friends, when you grow older, time is going to run faster and faster and faster, and time will surely outrun you. Yes, one day in the not too distant future, you will realize, like Joshua, that you're old, and there remains yet so much land to be possessed. You're racing against time to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. And you feel very, very intensely that you must be doing very, very much more. You have to do a lot of catch up. Yes, to do the things that maybe the Lord wants you to do, but you have not been doing them well, and now you are doing your catch up because in your younger days, you have been very slothful in doing the things of the Lord. So you are playing catch up now. Then the older ones in our midst will surely feel that we are losing our race against time. How many of us here can say, I beat time? I say, nobody can. We lose the race against time. Life is so short, completely limited by its ending, so much so that we feel that close to the end of our life or near to the end of our life, there is still so much land to be possessed. Maybe there's a life ambition that you want to achieve very much, but you realize that now you have not much time left to achieve that ambition. Perhaps you always wanted to have a doctorate degree, for example, all right? But you never had the opportunity to obtain your doctorate because you had to support your family. But now, yes, the days of supporting your family are over. You have the time. Apparently, you have the time. But really, you do not. Yes, and you realize that time is not on your side. Energy is not on your side, strength is not on your side, and there remains much land to be possessed. Then there are those who might want to build a business empire, and they are coming to the end of their lives. Yes, but their business is nowhere near an empire. And then there are those who long to see their children well established, having good jobs, having good families, but their longing is not fulfilled. But time is running out on them. Yes, not fulfillment. Time is not on their side. It's running out on them. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust we all have the ambition. All of us, I trust we have the ambition of seeking completeness in spiritual fruitfulness. All of us, I trust, want to be very, very spiritually fruitful for the Lord. Yes, we want to bear fruit of the Holy Spirit in fullness, such as love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We want to be perfect like the Lord. I trust we desire to have that kind of thinking in our heart. Yes, but we know we fall far short. We want to be like the Lord in a perfect way, but we know we fall far short. We want to conform more and more to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we are coming to the close of our life. We know that time is already running out on us and we are not anywhere near perfection. Yes, there is still so much land to possess. How we wish that in our younger days we had been more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we had been, then we would have been better witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in regards to the ambition of spreading the gospel both near and far and wide, all servants of the Lord will surely feel that there is so much land to possess. They're getting old and they realize that there is so much land to possess. They sense very, very keenly that the fields are already white unto harvest, but the laborers are so few. And these old servants of the Lord had done all that they could do to be the laborers that the Lord wants them to be. But the white fields are still as big and as white as ever. There is still so much to do. I dare say, my dear friends, as we grow older, the picture that there is so much land remaining for us to possess becomes clearer and clearer. So much land to possess, and that picture becomes clearer and clearer. So much land. Yes, it also becomes very clear that we will not be able to possess this remaining land because our life is limited by an ending. True, we must come to that realization. So much land to possess, and we are not able to possess it. For sure, we will not be able to do it because our life is coming to an end. So the lesson is clear, my dear friends. Yes, we want to have an honorable ending. Now, Joshua had an honorable ending. God granted it to him. Even though, yes, he had become old and there was still so much land for him to, for the Israelites to possess, but God was pleased to commend him for his good work. For in the conclusion of the book of Joshua, God actually gave Joshua this title, the servant of the Lord. The Lord honored him. The Lord gave him a very good ending. So the lesson is clear. We may have an honorable ending. All of us, we may have an honorable ending, provided we act on having a life which will end with an honorable ending. We must act on having a life that has an honorable ending. Now, those of us who are senior in years may lament the fact that we have lost many precious years. And then we say, there is still so much land for me to possess. No point crying over spilled milk, all right? The time that you wasted is time wasted. You cannot bring it back. But friends, in our senior years, let us quicken our footsteps. Do as much as we can by the grace of the Lord, so that when the Lord Jesus Christ come again, yes, by the grace of God, we may not be found wanting, and we may still be hopeful to hear him say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So, for all of us, what actions may we take to ensure that we have an honorable ending? All of us, right? Let us not postpone the opportunities to serve the Lord. That's number one. Don't postpone the opportunities to serve the Lord. That is the action that we must take. Now, we do not know how young Joshua was when he started serving the Lord. But we know that he started serving the Lord as a young general. Yes, he was a young general, as we said, who led the children of Israel to fight the Amalekites at this place called Rephidim. So, my dear friends, start young, yes, and don't postpone any opportunity that you may have to serve the Lord. Now, if you are a young man or a young lady, don't say, wait till I have graduated. All right, I'm talking to you young people now. All right? Yes, if you are a young man or a young woman, don't say, wait until I've graduated, then I will serve the Lord. And then after you have graduated, don't say, wait until I have a good job, a steady job, then I will serve the Lord. My dear friends, if you keep postponing, right, if you keep postponing, then you will never ever get to serve the Lord. Yes, there will never be a suitable time for you to serve the Lord. Now I have to tell you this, okay, dear friends, that I feel very, very distracted when I'm speaking here and you're talking to one another. All right, I feel very distracted. When children make noise in this church, I'm not distracted because they are children, I know they make noise. But you older ones, you should be listening to the word, and you are not listening to the word. You talk to one another, I feel very distracted. All right, so the Lord help you so that you will pay attention to what is being spoken here. Now, if you are a young man, as I said, if you have not graduated, don't wait until the day you graduate, then you say, I serve the Lord. Chances are you would not. And after you have graduated, yes, then you say, wait till I have a good job, then I serve. No, my dear friends, chances are you won't serve. Now, if you keep on postponing, there isn't going to be a suitable time for you to serve. The right thing for us to do is right now. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Right now. Serve the Lord right now. While the days come not, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Don't wait until the day when the evil days come. Now, what are these evil days? Now, the evil days are the days of sickness, the days of weakness, the days of infirmities. These are evil days. And you have no pleasure in those days, of course. Now, don't wait until those days, then you say, I will come and serve the Lord. No, you will never serve the Lord. So while you are young, when you are full of energy, remember this truth. Your strength is your glory, because the Lord has given you this strength, and it is meant for your glory. Yes, Proverbs 20:29, the word of God says, the glory of young men is the strength. Now, just looking at you young people going about your day actually makes us older people feel very tired. We don't have to do all those things that you do. Just looking at you doing all those things, we feel tired. Yes, you can study up to 2, 3 a.m. in the morning, take maybe 1 hour of nap, and you wake up at 5, 6 a.m. and you go and sit for your exams. How do you ever do that? All right. It amazes us, people who are older. Yes, and then when you are sick, yes, you catch a cold, you have the fever and so on and so forth, but you bounce back to health very, very quickly. But we older ones, I can tell you this, it takes us weeks to recover, if not months. Yes, then, my dear friends, so the choice is yours. Yes, you could use your strength to bring honor and glory to yourself. But you are going to discover that if you use your strength and your energy for that purpose, you are going to find that your usage of your strength and energy is quite meaningless. After a while, yes, immediately you may not feel it, but after a while you find that it's quite meaningless. But friends, if you use your strength and your energy to serve the Lord, to bring honor and glory to Him, you will find that your usage of your time and energy is something that is very, very meaningful. And you feel very, very joyful using your energy and strength to serve the Lord. Why? Because that's what you are created to do, to bring honor and glory to the Lord. And if you are honoring Him, my dear friends, glorifying Him, you will be the joyous person. So I urge you, my dear friends, begin now. In the days of your youth, to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And continue to do so that when your ending comes, your ending will be a very, very honorable one. Now, and then when, even though there is still lots of land to be possessed, yes, you will have no regrets at all, because you have done all that you could to serve the Lord. You have given your all to serve Him, and you will be very, very joyous that you did that. Next, let's serve the Lord with urgency. I say that we have to take action to ensure that our life will have an honorable ending, right? Serve the Lord with urgency. The older we are, the greater must be our urgency. Now think of Joshua again. Now, I don't think it is thinkable that Joshua would ever let a single day of his life pass without his adding to the possession of the promised land. I don't think he would let a day pass by without thinking or doing something in the way of increasing the possession of the promised land. My dear friends, today we are living in perilous times, all right? You may not realize it, but we are indeed living in perilous times. Because of the peace and because of the prosperity that we have in this country, we could be lulled into a state of complacency. But the truth is, the hour is very late. The end of all things is at hand. Peter says that very, very clearly under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The end of all things is at hand. The end of all things, friends, can come sooner than the end of our life. The signs of the time tell us that we are actually living in the last of the last days. If you are not conscious of this truth, my dear friends, be conscious The Lord's return is near, even at the doors. Today, we live in a world that is at war against terrorism. Did you realize that? I hope you realize that. All right, we hear news of one act of terror, then we forget, then we hear another news, and we forget again. But the truth is, we are living in a world that is at war against terrorism. And today, terrorism comes in two forms, right? We know that already. One form is that practiced by the religious extremists, all right? And then there is the other form of extremism that is practiced by the far-right extremists, the kind of extremism we saw practiced in the recent massacre of the Muslim worshippers in two mosques in Christchurch in New Zealand. It was committed by a man who was a far-right supremacist, right, extremist. Now, then today, are we not living under the threat of a global destruction by nuclear weapons? Are we not? We are. And the Word of God says that one day this whole world will be burnt up. What do you think will burn up the whole world? I dare say that the whole world will be burnt up by nuclear power and by nuclear energy. Yes, I believe that. And then today, my dear friends, do we not see lots of nuclear weapons being stocked up by nations of the world? Yes, they stock up nuclear weapons. And we know from history that every weapon that is invented is used. Every weapon, right, have nuclear weapons been used already? The answer is yes. During the Second World War, we know that two bombs, nuclear bombs, were let off in Japan. Yes, we know that. Every weapon invented by man is made use of. So indeed, we are living in the last of the last days. The question for all of us is, how prepared are we for the last days? How prepared are we for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ? We must dismiss all complacency. Souls around us are dying, friends. They are heading speedily towards eternal damnation, a Christless eternity. Let us remember that as time is running out on us, time is also running out on them. Now, what about our parents? What about our loved ones, our brothers and sisters? Yes, what about our close friends who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ? What are we doing in the way of giving the gospel to them to bring them into the kingdom of God? Like the Lord, who was always about his Father's business, even as of the tender age of 12, we must be about our Father's business always. The Lord was always very, very time conscious. He knew that night would soon come down upon him when he would not be able to serve anymore. So while it was day, he would do all he could to ensure that the work the Heavenly Father assigned him was completed. He was always very time conscious. And so he said in John chapter 9, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Like him, my dear friends, we must also be very, very conscious of the passage of time. Yes, night will come down upon us, and then we will not be able to work. Yes, our life will be over. So, friends, we must be very, very time conscious to make sure that we have an honorable ending to our life on this earth. Then what else must we do to have a life with an honorable ending? We must be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, as we said earlier on. Like Paul, we must say this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Yes, we must aim to know more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in the head, but know him in a very experiential way. Yes, that is what we must aim to have. Yes, a very, very intimate personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, over the years of months since you came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, yes, what has happened to our life? Are we the same old person as we were before? Am I the same I as I was before? Am I as bad-tempered as I was before? As I am I as wishy-washy as before, not willing to stand up for the one true living God? Have I been self-centered as I was before? Or are we more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we say that we are showing forth more of the fruit of the Spirit, even love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? Now, and then are we experiencing the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, meaning to say, are we living a life that is very, very pleasing to the Lord by the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, showing forth love and showing holiness? My dear friends, I trust that we are really showing forth the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Then, if we have been experiencing this close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing Him in a very personal way and showing forth the power of the resurrection in our life, are we satisfied with the state that we are in? Are we saying, yeah, I'm happy with what I am right now? Or are we yearning to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? We want to have more of this power. We want to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, so that the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ will be clearly manifested in me. Yes, I will be showing forth holiness and love like the kind that the Lord Jesus Christ showed forth. Now then, if we want to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be prepared to share in His sufferings, like the great Apostle Paul was prepared. Yes, we must be prepared to be persecuted, prepared to be different from people in the world, people prepared to be old-fashioned, prepared to be laughed at, prepared to be misunderstood, even by our loved ones. So often, you know, we are misunderstood by our loved ones because of our service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, in spite of all this persecution that we receive, are we prepared, or are we able to say, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. My dear friends, let us all act on knowing the Lord experientially. Yes, and how do we do that? Surrender ourselves to Him. Yes, surrender ourselves completely to Him. Act on knowing the Lord experientially. And then pray that we will show forth the power of His resurrection in our life, and pray that we will all be willing to share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we'll live a life of righteousness and a life of holiness, a life of faithfulness, so that our ending of our life on this earth will be commended by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Finally, let us be very, very comforted that acting on having a life with an honorable ending, we will be well rewarded. You see, our service on this earth unto the one true living God could be very insignificant in the light of eternity, because we will be putting in a service that lasts for how long? It's our service for 50 years, 60 years. But what is 50, 60 years in the light of eternity? It's very, very short. And then all that we do, we cannot add to God's glory. Now, in spite of all these shortcomings, in spite of all this insignificance, we will still be very well rewarded by the one true living God. If we did all these things faithfully, Matthew chapter 25:34, on the day of reckoning, the Lord is going to say this to us. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, those people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. My dear friends, we will be inheriting the kingdom of God. Yes, inheriting the kingdom of God. If we are faithful to Him, we will be receiving crowns. Just like the Apostle Paul would be receiving crowns, we would be receiving crowns if we are faithful to Him. Now, Joshua had an honorable ending. He had lived a life of righteousness and faithfulness. Will our ending on this earth be an honorable one? Because we have reached this ending with a life of righteousness and with a life of faithfulness. From the life of Joshua, Let us learn this truth, a very, very obvious truth, that no matter how strong we are, our life on this earth will surely have to come to an end. And the Lord told Joshua, yes, your life is coming to an end, and there is still so much land to be conquered. Let us all realize this truth, that our life on this earth is limited by an ending, and then there will still be many things that will be left undone by us when we come to the close of our life. But let us recognize that this limit, let us recognize this limitation and then act on having a life that will have a honorable ending. Yes, and then we'll be rewarded. Let's not postpone doing the good things that the Lord wants us to do. Let us not allow complacency to set in while we are doing the good for the Lord. And let us attend to the task that He wants us to do with great urgency, for night will come down upon us, and when it comes down upon us, we will no longer be able to serve. And then let us aim to be like the Lord, who was always about the Father's business. By the grace of the Lord, let us know Him experientially by surrendering ourselves to Him. And by the grace of God, let us pray that the Almighty Holy Spirit will enable us to experience the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ in an increasing manner. And let us, by the grace of God, pray that we may be able to share in the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ may be seen in us. Now, while our service is finite, while our service is relatively insignificant in the light of eternity, let us be encouraged that the reward that we will receive, which the Lord has prepared for us, will be far, far beyond our ability to imagine. It will be so great that we will not be prepared for that kind of reward that we are going to receive someday. But it will be ours, my dear friends, if we live our lives faithful to the Lord, live a life that is show forth the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be rewarded. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray that You will enable us, O Lord God, to see the realities of life. That, Lord, our life, no matter how strong we are, no matter how powerful we are, will one day have to come to an end. We pray, O Lord God, that we may all be wanting to have an honorable ending to our life. And we know that we will have an honorable ending to our life if right now we will act on our life in the way that You want us to act, so that we will be able to have that honorable ending. Help us, O Lord God, to be very, very conscious of the urgency of doing things for You. Let us help us, O Lord God, to be very conscious that our life on this earth is limited by an ending. Help us, O Lord God, that we will never postpone the things that we need to do, but every day be very, very conscious of the quick passage of time, so that when the time comes for our ending to take place, Lord, it may be an ending which is honorable in Your sight. For we pray and ask all these things in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.